never met. Your lips in a sweet caress. Your hand has never. All the years have held, but you love fond and true. Long, long ago, someone I know had a little red canoe.
If you were a young adult in 1919, 100 years ago, these might be some of the songs you were listening to. Your Eyes Have Told Me So, and Only You, sung by John McCormick with conductor Joseph Pasternak. Yelping Hound Dog Blues, performed by the Louisiana Five Jazz Orchestra. And Beautiful Ohio by the Metropolitan Quartet. Each of these recordings, as you hear them here, is from 1919. It's some of the popular music of the day. I have no indication that any of these recordings was played on the radio in 1919, but they could have been. We had the technology. I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 2, Episode 1. These songs, as they were recorded in 1919, are all preserved by the Library of Congress in the United States. The library holds the copyright on them. I'm using short excerpts from these songs here under fair dealing provisions of copyright as an illustration for educational purposes. It's a remarkable resource, loc.gov. The National Archives of Canada, another of the largest library collections in the world, also preserves audio. But it doesn't cross-reference the recordings by year they were made and appears to have little music, if any, from earlier than 1923. By 1923, music recordings were reaching wider audiences and being made even more popular because they were being played over the radio. In 1919, some recordings could have been played on the radio. Licensed radio broadcasting, as we know it, started in 1919, 100 years ago, in Canada. In the final episode of Season 1, I explored the story of Reginald Fessenden, a Canadian engineer who's thought to be the first person ever to transmit live human voice, recorded music, and live instrumental music over what would become AM radio. That happened on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1906. Fessenden developed important bits of technology, the super heterodyne receiver, and a technique of controlled variation in wave oscillation, amplitude modulation, AM radio. But we also know from that episode that Fessenden had first sent his own voice over an earlier version of wireless transmission on December 23rd, 1900, a full 6 years earlier. By the way, in that episode, when I discussed Marconi's first transatlantic wireless transmission, I wrongly left the impression the signal was sent from Newfoundland. Of course, it was received at Signal Hill near St. John's, Newfoundland, sent from England. AM radio transmission, as a service intended for the public, did not start until 1919. It's true there was an operation in the San Jose or San Francisco area known as KQW and by other call signs as early as 1909, but there were no commercially produced radio receivers at the time. There was other experimentation in the U.S., but even that was ordered to shut down when the United States entered the war. Radio receivers as consumer products did not become practical until 1915. Marconi, the first transatlantic wireless signaler but a follower in voice, needed vacuum tube technology to make receivers practical. The tubes, or valves, would amplify a radio signal to make it audible. By using the tubes and by using some of Fessenden's patents, Marconi was experimenting with radio transmission a short time later. In 1919, the Canadian Marconi Company gets a license from the Canadian federal government to start an experimental radio station in Montreal. It's called XWA, granted that experimental license December 1st, 1919. According to broadcastinghistory.ca, engineers at XWA became tired of constantly repeating numbers into a microphone to test their transmissions. So they took a phonograph, connected it to the wires, and borrowed records from a Montreal record shop. A point of disclosure here, I am a member of the board of directors of the foundation that operates BroadcastingHistory.ca. In May 1920, XWA's license is upgraded. Canada has its first licensed commercial radio station. The call letters XWA are changed to CFCF, Canada's first, Canada's finest. It's not clear to me yet whether there are any audio recordings of those very early days of XWA or CFCF. There is a recording, or is it a reenactment, from the very first broadcast by the first fully licensed commercial radio station in the United States. It's from KDKA Pittsburgh, November 2nd, 1920. In its 98th anniversary show, KDKA itself says this is a recreation from 1947 of what happened that very first night in 1920.
This is KDKA
of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company in East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We shall now broadcast the election returns. We'd appreciate it if anyone hearing this broadcast would communicate with us, as we are very anxious to know how far the broadcast is reaching and how it is being received.
And from Season 1, Episode 15, what history tells us are the very first sounds broadcast over BBC Radio, the British Broadcasting Company, as it started out, in 1922.
This is 2LO, the London station of the British Broadcasting Company calling. 2LO calling.
Radio broadcasting, as we know it, begins regular service in Canada with XWA Montreal, 1919. I will take a deeper look at XWA CFCF later this year in Season 3. Yes, in 2019, we celebrate 100 years of radio. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach radio.